Our reading today comes from the book of Colossians 3:12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can still come together and meet together as your church. We pray that as we hear your word now, that you will speak to us through it, through your Holy Spirit, that you will change our hearts, that you will show us what life together as a church means, and that you will transform us more and more into how you want to see us here at LEC. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So today, people in 5 German states lost one of their public holidays to a Sunday, because today is All Saints Day, which can only mean that yesterday, as all of the apps on my phone reminded me of, and all the ads, that can only mean that yesterday people celebrated Halloween all over the world. So people young and old dressed up, put on costumes, pretending to be something or someone they are not. So that was yesterday. So looking forward, in 10 days, in Germany, we will see the start of the carnival season, culminating in the parade in Cologne and Mainz, I mean, if they're allowed to happen this year, or next year, mostly. But there again, we see people dress up and pretend to be something they're not. And of course, it's expected that if I was to dress up, that you would be able to tell who I'm pretending to be just from what I'm wearing. People will act according to their costume, to the clothes that they're wearing. We could almost say clothes make people. So in our passage today, Paul will show us what a church should look like, what people should see when they look at a group of believers gathered together in a local church, and what the guiding principles should be. It's therefore no surprise that he uses the image of putting on clothes when describing how we should act as individuals, but also as a church collectively. Because these pieces of clothing that Paul wants us to wear change the way we behave as well. So let's have a look at the first part of Paul's description of the church. In verse 12, he says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Paul first explains what the Colossians' status is, to then show us what sorts of clothing are fitting to that status. Something similar to as if they were the king or queen of England, opening parliament in flip-flops and socks would probably not be the best idea. Or Angela Merkel going to a world leader summit in a Totehosen t-shirt and sandals. So what is the Colossian status then, according to Paul? Who are they? So that's our first point for today. They are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. It's not through their own strength, through their own merits, that the Colossians are part of this church, of this group. It's because God chose them. Paul's description makes that clear. Holy and beloved were attributes which were closely associated with Israel God's people that he had chosen out of all the nations to dwell with them. So they are, in a sense, God's special people. So by applying those terms of the church in Colossae, Paul is telling the people there that they too are part of God's people, like Israel, even if they're not of Jewish heritage. Paul is telling the Colossians and is telling us today that if we trust Jesus, we too are part of God's people, belonging to him, not because of our parents' passport, as we see in verse 11 just before our reading, but through Christ who died on us on the cross for us. Not because of what we do, but because Christ died for us and our sins on the cross. Because God loves us. I mean, just think about that for a second. You are beloved, and in fact, you are part of a gathering of beloved people. But what does that mean? Well, now that the status is clear, Paul moves on to say what the Colossians and, in extension, we are to put on. But before we move on to the grand fashion show, there is one last important disclaimer to make. Paul doesn't say put on then to be God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, but he says put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. We don't put on these metaphorical clothes to become God's people, but because we are God's people. In a similar sense, a judge doesn't wear their robes and then they become a judge, but they wear the robes because they are a judge. Doing these things that Paul mentions here are not what make us Christians. They are the result of God having made us Christians. Only trusting in Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, death and resurrection as the way by which God brings sinners, that means you and me, close to him and grants us eternal life, only by believing in this, or having faith in this, as we sometimes say in more churchy language, will make us part of God's people. So in simple words, we wear the clothes because of the status, we don't get the status because of the clothes. But now what are we actually to put on? So now Paul moves from the who we are to the what we do. So he begins, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. When people look at the church in Colossae, when they look at us here at LEC today, Paul wants them to see those things. So if someone on their Sunday afternoon stroll was walking by here on the Scharnhorststrasse, saw the lights, walked in here, or to any of our home groups, Paul would want them to see the compassion, the kindness, humility, meekness, patience when they look at us. I mean, it does seem pretty straightforward to begin with, but then if the Colossians and if we start thinking about the implications and think about the real life, is it really that simple? But if we think again to what Paul said, that we are a group of beloved people, how does knowing that we are part of a group who God loves, who God has chosen as his own, enable us to be kind, meek, patient, etc. Paul continues in verse 13, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. If we take a look at the world around us, we'll see that bearing with one another and forgiving each other become more and more rare. The good contributions sometimes get quickly forgotten, or rather ignored, to focus on the one slip-up, the one tweet, that one Instagram post, or whatever. And unfortunately, we're always in danger of letting such things creep into the church. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we should accept every kind of behavior in the church for the sake of being forgiving or of bearing with one another, nor does this mean turning a blind eye when we see injustice being done or covered up. But in general, we are to be gentle with each other over the things that could cause conflict between us. And I mean, there are many things around us that could cause this conflict, aren't there? I mean, on Tuesday we'll have the US presidential election, and I'm sure no matter how it ends, we'll have some that are going to be happy with the result and some that aren't. The same goes with the campaigns for the federal elections in September here in Germany, or with the measures during this pandemic. Are they going too far and infringing on our freedoms, or are they not going far enough, putting everyone at risk? I mean, we debate these things quite passionately in our society today, because they affect many. But unfortunately, very often, rather than being patient with each other, a society tends to divide itself over these issues. Paul, on the contrary, calls on us to bear with one another. Just as I know that you have to bear with me, I should bear with you. This doesn't mean that we aren't allowed to disagree. I mean, we're humans, after all. But now, Paul seems to know that you just thought in your head, yeah, as if we are ever going to be able to pull that off. And hence the call to forgive each other. Of course, there will be times where we will hurt one another. But just as the Lord has forgiven us, so we must also forgive. Forgiveness is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it looks like the hardest possible thing to do. But Paul gives us this example of Jesus Christ to follow. Just like we received grace from God, that is something that we didn't deserve, in this case it's forgiveness, we are to be gracious to each other and to others by forgiving them. In fact, Christ is not only an example for us in the aspect of forgiveness, but in everything Paul has told us so far. So the Savior giving for us to receive, the ultimate example of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of meekness, and of patience. And the same goes for love that Paul mentions in verse 14. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. Now, I don't know this out of personal experience, but I am told that when you dress well, or try to dress well at least, you don't put on 50 different outfits and, yeah, you just hope for the best. But you try to take the different articles of clothing and put them together as one outfit. That's what I'm told. So, in a sense, love here is the one thing that binds all these other items of clothing into one outfit. It's like the one favorite pair of trousers that you can wear on any occasion that would really work with everything else in your wardrobe. Basically, Paul is saying, don't just do these things because you have to, because you are at Zwecksgemeinschaft. That follows a set of rules, and it kind of states that in your contract, page 3, subsection B. But do those things because you love one another. And you know what the exciting thing is? That we will become these things more and more. As we go, God, through his Holy Spirit, works in us to grow these characteristics, these traits in us. I mean, if you have a Bible in front of you, look at verse 10 with me. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. We are being renewed. He doesn't say we were renewed. Yes, sometimes it looks like we're going 3 steps forward and 2.5 backwards. But this is a continuous process in which God makes us more and more like his son. So all these things that Paul wants people to see when they walk in here tonight, or next week, or in a month from now, God will so work in us that these things will be visible. So if we were to quickly summarize these 3 verses, we could say, we are God's people saved by grace, lovingly showing grace to each other and those around us. Now, if we move on in our passage, we'll see that there is a slight change in Paul's language. you know, uses less of a language of putting on, that is something that we do ourselves, but more of letting something else work. In verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell. He moves on from who we are and what we do, from what we put on, to what leads us. So let's have a look on that. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. In the New Testament, we often see this picture of the church being one body. So Paul now says, since we are one body, we should let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. In our interactions, we should seek to promote and to keep the peace in our midst. Trying to keep the peace does not necessarily mean not doing anything or not saying anything when something is wrong or bothers us. Sometimes letting the peace of Christ rule is a very proactive thing. But letting the peace of Christ rule our hearts will certainly lead to us being more gracious with each other and reflect Him more into the world around us. Christ's peace is a real-life antidote to our desire to argue, to spread rumors, to gossip, to complain about each other. When Christ's peace rules in our hearts, it reshapes our church life together. The church shouldn't be known for its bickering and devouring of each other, but we should rather be a haven of peace amongst all the turmoil the world around us faces. And just like it's not great for a physical body if its different parts start working against each other, it's not great for the church if its different members, that is, we, do the same. So how can we let the peace of Christ rule here at LEC? Well, occasionally people use a picture of this peace being an umpire or something like a referee to show that Christ's peace should be the one that makes a call in our interactions with each other. Though that is true, it goes a little bit further. It's more like a chancellor or a prime minister, if you want, who doesn't passively make a call when the foul has already been done, but who, if they do the job well at least, actively shapes the life of the citizens for the better, enabling them to live better together. So we let this peace shape us in the big things by making a culture of peace a priority rather than the one of bad-mouthing, of gossiping, of arguing. And we let it rule us in the small things by letting it make the call from situation to situation about how what we say and what we do can contribute to this peace, even if it means we need to say something to protect us or others from hurt along the way, or to get misunderstandings out of the way. So now we saw how the peace of Christ is to rule us and lead us. So now we'll see at one other thing that is to lead the church in Colossae and us here today in Leipzig. In verse 16 we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. The word of God is to dwell in us richly. We could maybe say to live in us, to reside in us richly with profit. It's not just a novel that we read in the afternoon because we're bored and don't have anything else to do. It dwells in us, which means if someone was able to look into us, they would be able to see the word of God because we are shaped by it as individuals, but also as a church on the whole. In our teaching, in our admonishing, and in our singing, we are shaped by the word of Christ. So let's first look at our teaching. Wherever there is teaching within the church, it should be teaching on God's word. Be it from the pulpit, be it at home groups, be it when you meet with a friend to read the Bible together. Cannot teach things contrary to the word of God. The church shouldn't be marked by speculation or following every new trend on what God could be, on what he might be, or on what he isn't, even if those trends go contrary to God's word. But this also means, on the other side, that we need to hold those teaching accountable to actually teach us the word of God and not something else. Secondly, in our admonishing, we're all sinful humans, so we're all going to make mistakes and go against God's word in our lives. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. As a church family, we are to look out for each other. And one way of doing this is by helping each other see when we go the wrong way. But again, we can't just take this word out of context and just use it by itself. We still have to let peace rule among us. We do it according to the word of God. We can't just make admonishing a hobby because we just like pointing out the mistakes of other people. We are still to be gracious to others and let peace be our empire and chancellor. And thirdly, we are shaped by Christ's word in our singing. Now, this can't be strictly separated from teaching, of course. And you might have heard every preacher's favorite phrase, the people in church are more likely to remember the songs they sung on a Sunday than the sermon they heard. I mean, what sounds like a cliche is actually to a certain point correct, even if we think that might just be propaganda by church musicians. That's why what we sing is hugely important. The songs we sing need to reflect what we read in the Word of God, and they shouldn't go contrary to it. It's also important that we have a variety in what we sing to maintain a balance, not just between the themes that we sing about, but also the styles of songs. But now, if you were hoping for some word of wisdom from me on what the difference between hymns and spiritual songs are, I'll have to disappoint you, but make sure to ask Larry afterwards. He'll be happy to answer every question you have. But then again, I also don't think that this is actually the point of that Paul is trying to make here. Because Paul wants us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So debating whether this is a hymn or a song and should therefore not be sung are just going in a completely wrong direction. What we can see here is that Paul doesn't want us to just sing psalms. He also doesn't want us to ignore the psalms. And he also shows us how to sing these songs. In another translation, we read in verse 16, we should sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. We could maybe say today with gratitude. Does this mean that we need to always be happy, clappy when we come here on a Sunday when we sing? I would suggest not so. We are thankful for this grace that God has given us. These songs are to be grace-driven, just like we are as a church. I mean, part of being thankful when we sing, when everything hurts, is knowing that there is someone who hears, someone who knows. That's why, yes, on the one hand, we also need songs that reflect those seasons and show that life is not always kind to us. But on the other side, our whole singing should be grace-driven. Because everything we do is because of God's grace for us. Which is something Paul encourages us to see in verse 17, isn't it? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Not in our own name do we do all those things, not in our own strength. Everything the Colossians did at their church, everything we do here at LEC, we should do in the name of Christ. So not only should our hearts be ruled by Christ's peace, not only should we let the word of Christ dwell in us, no, everything we should do in Christ's name. And in all that, we should be thankful to him. I mean, this aspect of thankfulness or gratitude is big in the last three verses, isn't it? I mean, from verses 15 to 17, in every single one of them, we see the word thanks in one way or another. But how often do we thank God for what he did, for what he does for us? How often do we thank God for our church family or for specific people he has put in there for us? How often are we thankful for the good things that still happen in this world today? So summing up, how should our life together as a church look like? This visitor that came earlier, who just walked on the Sunday afternoon stroll and walked in. Maybe this Sunday, maybe next Sunday, maybe 5 Sundays ago. What should they see? Paul suggests that they should see God's people saved by grace, lovingly showing grace to each other and those around them, led by Christ's word and peace, thankfully doing everything in his name. Are we there yet? No. Will it be exciting to see how God will shape us more and more, getting us nearer to what a church should be, to what LEC should be? Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter what, we know that we will never reach the ultimate standard that you have for us, but we thank you that you still have chosen us, that you have made us yours, your people, because you love us. So thank you that you keep working in us, changing us day by day, even if we don't seem to notice. Thank you that we know and we can be sure that you are getting us closer to what you want LEC to be. We pray that as we go out this week, as we go out into this next challenging month, that you will help us be more gracious with each other and be led by your peace, your word, and that you'll help us to always, in everything we do, be thankful. All of this we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.